Spectre 2 reporting in. This is Vanessa Marshall, and I play Hera Syndulla on Star Wars Rebels. You're listening to the Hyperspace Heroes podcast. That's no moon. Take it from Brown Mullet 34.
And now, on with the show.
Podcasting, the final audio frontier. These are the legends of Brown Squadron.
Our computer is picking up a strange signal. Here, sir, you better take a look at it.
The ongoing mission? To explore the Star Wars universe and other nerd culture topics. To seek new content and new cantinas, bars, and lounges. To boldly annoy Scruffy by making too many bad jokes. Welcome to the Hyperspace Heroes Podcast.
All right. Oh, I guess I should take that down, shouldn't I?
Oh, we can do like whole thing like this.
No, I think we're good tonight.
No, all right. it blocks my five head. So
okay. Well, welcome to Hyperspace Heroes special edition tonight, episode 78. This is Brown Leader signing in. All wings report in.
Brown 2 signing in.
Brown 4 standing by.
All right, guys. Well, this is a special edition tonight, Wednesday episode. We don't normally do Wednesdays, but yeah, we thought the Acolyte trailer just dropped last night or yesterday morning at 11 o'clock, and lots of love online, definitely, about that trailer. It's going to be cool. And so for tonight, we wanted to do a little special short episode about the trailer. And for that, we have a special guest that's going to join us, and let's bring him in right now. Arda, welcome.
Hi, Arda.
How you doing?
Good. Oh, we can't hear you. So Arda Okal is part of the ESPN crew. He is a host and an anchor at ESPN, and he is also the co-host of the ESPN Presents Never Tell Me the Odds, which is an ESPN-sanctioned Star Wars podcast. And if you had told me, yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you now. Excellent. Okay.
Awesome.
Brown 6 signing in. Thanks for the beat.
Well, you know what? We're going to
do this on a Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get to that Brown designation at the end of the show.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all good. We've got something special for you. So, yeah, welcome to the show, Arda.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Really appreciate the invite, and happy to be here, nerd out about Star Wars. Great time, because apparently the Acolyte trailer just broke a bunch of records, so that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Did it break the internet again?
Yeah, basically. Awesome. I just saw that on the Star Wars account that they set the record for, was it like most views in a 24-hour period for a trailer? Like even more than The Mandalorian and Ahsoka and everything else? That's awesome.
That is
absolutely
awesome.
Yes.
That is very cool. So before we get into that real quick, we'll just do some quick introduction with you, Arda. And I was just telling our listeners that you're one of the co-hosts on Never Tell Me the Odds, which is, and I'll throw your graphic up there really quick, which is an ESPN-sanctioned Star Wars podcast. How did that come to be?
It sounds improbable, right? Like, how could this even happen? Like an ESPN... an official ESPN Star Wars podcast. The reason it did, quite frankly, is because the three of us, so it's myself, Clinton Yates, who's a very accomplished baseball writer. He also regularly appears on Around the Horn, and Ryan McGee, who's written a lot of books. He's a motorsports writer, college football, on Marty and McGee on SC Network. There they are. They're the boys. So The reason the podcast exists is because the three of us, who are at three completely different corners at ESPN, like I cover hockey and host SportsCenter, right? So normally we may not have ever overlapped on a project, period, because we're covering such different things, but we all share a deep passion for Star Wars, and we all almost like group, almost like a, it was almost like great minds think alike. At the same time frame, we all pitched an idea to do a Star Wars show independent of each other, which got to the right person who is now our executive producer, so to speak, Aaron Thornton. And Aaron basically said, you know what? This sounds like a great idea. Let's see if we can make it happen. And luckily, we got the first episode off the ground, and we just kept doing it ever since. Like, it's a passion project. It's a, you know, it's a fun gig for us in a way. It's definitely something that stays alive because we love it so much. And we've been able to do some cool stuff with it. Like, we went to Galaxy's Edge a couple weeks ago, and it was fantastic. Like, with, you know, stuff like that, that you only dream about doing, you know, Star Wars related. And, you know, lucky us that we get to do it.
Right, exactly. And not only Galaxy's Edge, but you guys got in early before the crowds hit, which was very cool. Definitely a lot of
fun. We were very lucky. Chewie was there. He was hanging out with us. And we got to do, we got to do Rise of the Resistance, which is incredible. I actually hadn't done it before, and it was fantastic. So the whole setup, like the attention to detail on Galaxy's Edge. I'm a big Thrawn guy, so being in Batuu was really cool. You know, so like, just the whole vibe of it was outstanding. I loved every, like, you could tell the heart and soul that went into building that place, and the decisions that they made, and, you know, what's on display, and the rides, etc. Like, I couldn't be more thrilled that we went there. And the next day we went to the Tampa Bay Lightning game in Tampa, and they had their Star Wars night, and that was the anchor, like the reason we were there, because we did a live podcast there, which was in itself such a unique and fun experience, because there's a lot of, you know, people dressed up as Star Wars characters coming by and interacting with us, which was a lot of fun.
Right on. So want to jump into the chat really quick. Anthony from Force Ghost Conversations just wanted to throw that out really quick. And
go Flyers, let's go. They are, I'm not going to turn this into, I promise, very, very minimal hockey talk here, but for Force Ghost Conversation, as a Flyers fan, unbelievable season, incredible. Some people might call John Tortorella Palpatine. I would not, because he's awesome. I worked with him at ESPN in year one, a couple years ago, when he was with us, and he couldn't have been a nicer guy to me. He was fantastic to me. So,
that's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah,
Bill Anthony... Belichick is more Palpatine, really, though, right? With the hoodie and everything, like, he kind of looks like, it's really, if you're gonna pick someone in sports that's Darth Sidious, it's 100% Bill Belichick.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay, so I do have a hockey question really quick, which is, I know you played when you were younger. One of my boys played, so what position did you play?
I was a winger, off winger too. I shoot left, but I loved being on the right wing. I loved skating down the off wing and taking a shot top circle, kind of Ovi's office kind of thing, but on the off wing, I loved the, that was my play. It worked for the first couple of years, you know, when you're in that 8 to 10 range, it works great. And then afterwards, when people get smart to it, you're like, it doesn't really work so much anymore. So I didn't get too far in my playing career, but my life was destined to be behind a microphone, and I'm not disappointed in that at all.
Right on. Okay, well, Arda, before we get into the Acolyte trailer, two questions we normally ask all of our Star Wars guests. First one is, what does Star Wars mean to you?
It means a lot. And actually, my journey as a Star Wars fan is kind of the opposite of a lot of people my age. Like, I'm in my 40s, right? A lot of people in my age group fell in love with the original trilogy, watched it hundreds of times, and that was their first touch point, right? Now, I watched the original trilogy. I did enjoy the original trilogy, but I didn't truly get to this. Like, I would say this, I'm at the right now, now, and also when I watched the first episode of The Mandalorian. I don't know why, but when I watched that first episode and I saw Baby Yoda back then, Grogu now, like, it just, like, something clicked in my head, and it's almost as if I had this compulsion to just watch everything in Star Wars history, rewatch the all three trilogies, like the original, the prequel, sequel, like just everything. I just needed to consume as much Star Wars as possible. So I would say that I'm a larger Star Wars fan today and after watching that first episode, that 2017-ish timeframe, than I ever was, even watching the original trilogies in the 80s, which is kind of counter to a lot of Star Wars fans, which is totally cool, right? Like, like a lot of people I talk to are have such like strong nostalgia and strong memories, like childhood memories of, you know, being the biggest Star Wars fan in their neighborhood. And it's like the coolest thing to listen to. I was not the biggest Star Wars fan in my neighborhood growing up, but I just love hearing how passionate and how much it molded people's childhoods to that degree. And I can relate to it because I'm sort of feeling it now, you know, like I'm enjoying all the Star Wars content that's out there and the shows. And we'll talk about the Acolyte trailer. Like, I can even appreciate it now on so many different levels, right? Like, as a fan, the stories are great. Even the presentations and the different types of stories we're getting. Like, the universe is, I feel like in many ways, like I'm sure a lot of people feel this way. I feel like in many ways it's almost made for me, you know, like I just feel like I found my people.
Right on. Yeah. First episode of Mando too. I was hooked and it was, yeah. I told the guys it was like it was the closest feeling I had to watching Empire when I was six in the theater. You Amazing. Know, it was that magical that brought you back in.
You were hooked at Celebration when you saw the preview, the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
I was. Absolutely. Absolutely. DB?
All right. All right. Tell us about your first Star Wars experience.
My first Star Wars experience, Return of the Jedi, watching it in theaters, tons of fun, lots of people dressed up, Darth Vader costumes, Stormtrooper costumes, C-3PO costumes. I think there was an R2 as well. Packed theater, full of kids. People were enjoying themselves, loving it. This was in a suburb of Toronto. I grew up in Toronto. I'm Canadian, and it was just a blast. It was such a great vibe. That was like my earliest memory of Star Wars. I was not at the time a collector of stuff. I mean, that's obviously changed. But I will say this. Actually, I do have one distinct memory that's kind of unique. So my parents are from Turkey. I'm Turkish, right? So every summer we would go to Turkey to visit family. And Turkey has this like really unique place in Star Wars history for two specific reasons, right? Turkish Star Wars is like the most hilarious thing ever. But
I
like,
just watched that actually.
Oh my god, it's like it's ridiculous. It's right like there. It's obnoxious. Oh, can I see that again? Can you show that? That's awesome. Yep. Like, oh my gosh, the man who's like, it's so funny. It's like the Indiana Jones theme is playing randomly as he's like punching rocks and he's got like slabs on his legs. Like, it's just like, this is, but to me, like, I watched that with my Turkish family and their paradigm is very different. Like, our paradigm is like, this is even a horrible ripoff. Like, someone in North America watching this, they're like, this is absurd. But people in Turkey, it was almost like a sense of pride where they're like, oh, yeah, this mashup is great. Like, this is something to rally behind. Like, they were, like, really getting into it, right? It was just so hilarious. Like, it was such a different way to experience that movie. Like, my family members, I remember distinctly my grandmother was, like, so into it. Maybe because you might have had a crush on the leading guy, too. Like, I think the leading guy was, like, a very, very popular actor in Turkey, too. He was, like, a very popular Turkish actor. But, like, still, it was, like, this is hilarious to experience this way, looking back on it anyway.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I just borrowed it from somebody we all know. And Droid Baiter, DB, has seen it already and told me it's just terrible. I can't wait. So I cannot wait to watch it.
I can't wait for you to do the review on your next show.
We're definitely going to do it. Deep dive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. It's so bad, it's good.
It's the most glorious train wreck that you cannot look away from.
It's so, man. So,
speaking of Turkish Star Wars, Uze, the Star Wars Uze figures.
Oh, hold on one second. Excuse me. Just wait. Hold that thought.
That's what I want to see.
He's got one of those really awesome hockey games behind him. That's...
Mm-hmm.
Oh man,
that's what we want to see right there.
Wow.
So hold on, let me so I can hear you guys.
Yeah,
so that's so, what I wanted Uzai, to see
so this,
right there.
Uzai Savaşçıları means star fighters, actually.
Okay.
And the best is it doesn't say stormtrooper. I don't know if you can see. It says stormtrooper.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And underneath Usker means soldier. But like, there's a lot of like for, I don't know if you can see the Darth Vader figure here, but it says Darth Vader. Like all of the names are pretty much spelt wrong. It's like very crude. It's like the 80s NES.
I love Wingman.
Yeah. There's Wingman, and then there's Che Baca. You know, he was leading the resistance in Cuba, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Che Baca there. Who else do we have?
I want to see T-shirts like that with Che Baca.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see who else. But the thing is like this reminds me of, you know, in the old Nintendo, the NES games, where mm-hmm. they would have like awful translations from Japanese to English. Yes. And so it would be like, a winner is you. Like the grammar would be all off because no one like proofread these things back in the 80s. Like
it's such a
time capsule of the time, right?
It is.
So how do you say that underneath Uze? How do you say that?
Savaşçılara means fighters.
Okay.
Yeah, like the that's what the accents at the bottom are, but
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I've always wondered how to say that.
Savaşçılara, yeah.
I've seen those figures before. Not very often, obviously, because they're quite rare.
Oh, and yeah. even the Stars War. Like, you can't even get the, come on, you can't even get the actual, like, what is going on here? Like, you had one job, right?
Yeah, this is
the, you had one job of Star Wars. Like, how do you get, but the funny thing is, the second thing, so, like, other than Turkish Star Wars, the movie, I remember seeing these at, like, stores in Turkey when I was, like, 10 or 11. Wow. Do you know what I mean? And, like... Mm-hmm. I didn't think twice about them. Like I didn't know they were typos or, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't really clued into like looking for that kind of thing. So I was kind of just glancing over them. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I had known, I would have bought like 100 of them and just kept them in the vault for like 30 years.
Heck yeah.
Retired.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So should we, let's transition over into the Acolyte trailer, and so that dropped yesterday, a minute and I think it's 42 seconds, so just some real cool visuals. Acolyte is going to take place here. There's some debate, you know, is it 100 years, 50 years, somewhere, but pre Phantom Menace, we know that. I got this right off of StarWars.com. You know, they're calling it definitely during the era of the High Republic, kind of the tail end of the Republic. The summary is an investigation into a shocking crime spree pits a respected Jedi master against a dangerous warrior from his past. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal all is not what it seems. And that's kind of how the trailer kind of portrays it too, right? Kind of starts with who we learn is Master Saul talking to some younglings in the temple. And it starts with kind of a cool little homage to A New Hope when he says, close your eyes can deceive you. You know, kind of a call back to Ben training Luke in the Falcon in A New Hope. Then we get over to Carrie Ann Moss's character kind of going into a restaurant. And fighting somebody. Then you have somebody named Yord talking about Jedi are being killed. You can kind of see there's kind of an investigation going on, a lot of cutscenes. A character named Anasea, who's a priestess for a witch coven or something, is talking about this isn't about good or bad. This is about power and who is allowed to use it. And then the coolest part, of course, the red lightsaber twirling through the trees. Cutting gets caught by somebody, and then you see all the Jedi getting blown back. That's a brief synopsis of the trailer. But Arda, let's start with you. What'd you think?
Well, the first thing I loved about it, first thing I thought of was, wow, there's a lot of knives in this trailer. This was Knives Out Star Wars. That's the first thing I was like, man, the amount of knives in this trailer is noticeable. But so going back to what I said earlier about like the different presentations, right? Like Andor was a very different presentation from Ahsoka, which was a very different presentation from Bad Batch, et cetera, et cetera. Like we're getting so many different flavors of Star Wars, right? And I believe the way this show, The Acolyte, was described was Frozen meets Kill Bill. And I can't wait for the fight choreography in this series. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for, like, I will admit, the High Republic era is like, I'm trying to get into the comics. Like, I honestly made a concerted effort to attempt to, read, consume as much Star Wars stuff as I can. I'm a little behind on the books. I am reading the High Republic comics, but I got in a little late, so I'm a little, some of it's flying over my head a little bit. So I feel like this will be a great entry point into all of that. And if the presentation is we're going to get some really good fights and it's going to be very, like, you know, kung fu movie inspired and heavy, and we're going to get, like, better maybe the best choreography that we've seen in any Star Wars presentation, sign me up. That sounds awesome.
Rock on. Yeah. The Carrie Ann Moss scene, you know, definitely had some Matrix vibe to it, you know, with the kung fu and the motion. For sure. And yeah, and like Force Ghost said, this is definitely High Republic fans. It's about time, you know. They Lucasfilm's been building this era up, books and comics. I've read the three main novels of Phase One, but that's all. I'm behind on the rest of it as well. And I agree with you. If this is a good entry point for those of us that are not as familiar, I'm glad that it's coming to the screen.
Did you feel as someone who's like consumed a lot of High Republic books, did you feel rewarded? Like, were there Easter eggs in there for you that was like, oh man, like I got a lot of, like,
I don't
paid off from reading all of this, investing all this time.
Right. The look. So it was interesting. The look of the show, it because this is like the end, from my understanding, it's kind of the end of the High Republic as it's going, mm-hmm. you know, before pre Phantom Menace. And it's funny because the look of the robes even look like less fancy than, it looks like a transition era from the artwork you see from the High Republic Phase One, Phase Two, I haven't really seen much of the artwork from Phase Three, but it looks like it's kind of a transition where it's kind of partway from the real fancy robes to what we end up with in the movies, in the prequels, in the OT. And I think there's one main character from Phase Three, and I have not read anything about Phase Three. I think there's one character. In fact, I pulled her up. Verne. A lot of people are kind of going crazy about her online.
Yeah,
I guess she carries.
She was in the books, right?
Yeah, yeah. Even as she was there for Starlight Beacon, which is kind of the main gist of Phase One, kind of the ending of Phase One, real kind of tragic ending. I will say the second book, if you want a really good, in terms of written form, for a battle sequence, the climatic battle that's in it, I think it's Charles Soule does that. And I was so impressed reading about the battle. It read like I was watching it on TV. It kept flashing from this part to the battle, to this part to the battle, to this part to the battle so smoothly. It was like watching it. It was quite impressive.
That's awesome.
Scruffy, thoughts?
Yeah, I had a very sad Sunday afternoon kung fu movie type feel to it that I absolutely loved. I'm truly excited about getting, you know, we talked about it earlier today, where we're finally getting that story that was outside of the Skywalker saga. It you know, it was something different, a different era, a different time frame. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to that. I agree. I did notice a lot of knives, and I think that kind of also helped the kung fu the feel to it.
Right on.
Of a sort. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it and really excited about it. I also am way behind on High Republic. I've read one book. I've glanced through a few comics. I'm trying to make some time to get caught up on all that. So I'm hoping that this will get me a little more motivated into that.
DB.
sorry. I was, the first thing that struck me, well, the thing that stood out to me was toward the end of the trailer, you see all these lightsabers, and it just reminded me of Attack of the Clones and the Battle of Geonosis, and you're seeing multiple Jedi get into a battle, plus there were yellow lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Excited to see that.
You know, and yeah, every time I saw somebody pull a blade, All I could see was Paul Bettany, you know, with the end of Solo.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I found interesting that you did not see a red lightsaber until the very end of the trailer.
Which in itself, like, asks a lot of questions, right? Like, at that point, they hadn't seen a Sith in how long, right?
A millennia.
Yeah, right? And then, you know, Darth Maul is much later than this, unless, mm-hmm. like, you know, there might be, you know, story. Obviously, there's more story to tell, and there will be, you know, the trailer's designed to leave you asking questions. But I found that to be very interesting. And hey, maybe the red lightsaber doesn't belong to a Sith Lord. Like, we don't know, right? But it's just right. It was just cool that it was just left at that. Because mm-hmm. it makes you ask a lot of questions.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, the one thing about this trailer was they showed you a lot and told you nothing.
Yeah.
Which yeah. is
yeah. which is great.
It's the perfect mix for a trailer. We're all waiting for June 4th now.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was some trailer for some movie that came out that basically told the whole... Oh, it was the latest trailer for The Crow. The reimagined Crow. If you watch the trailer, it's basically the whole story.
And yeah, no, I don't need to go to the movie now. I'm over.
Right,
it's done.
Right. And whereas this, like you said, it leaves us wanting more for sure.
There's a show on Netflix. Kristen Bell is in it. It's a long title. It's like The Lady by the Window, something, something. It's a very long title. Mm. But I'm sorry, the name escapes me. But the trailer literally has like the final scene of the whole series in it. And I thought that was like, wow. I mean, not you wouldn't know that obviously watching it, but it's like, oh, wow. That's a choice.
It's funny you say that because we're just talking about this red lightsaber. And the first thing that popped into my head was, I'll bet that's the very last scene in the show.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Could be, mm-hmm. right? And then that would explain a lot.
Ask me in 6 months if I'm right.
In the end of the season, right? And you're just like, right. That reminds me of Ahsoka, where you're like, you see Thrawn and you're just like waiting episode. Not that, listen, it's not that like, I'm a Thrawn guy. Okay. So like, he couldn't come soon enough. Like the scene in episode, which episode was it? 6, I think, where like he finally has all his mm-hmm. night troopers around him and you got the organ music and everything. Like that was awesome. That was like the greatest thing ever to me. But like each episode, I was like, is he going to show up here? Nope. Is he going to show up next episode? Is he here yet? Is he here mm-hmm. yet? No. Mm-hmm. I got to wait longer.
I know. Yeah. I was surprised how long it took to get to Thrawn.
I just needed Thrawn to interrupt Anakin and Ahsoka mm-hmm. in The World Between Worlds. That's what I just needed him to just interject himself.
Mm-hmm. That would have been really, awesome. But
that would have been ridiculous. Like, what are you doing here, man?
Right. Exactly. Okay, so I went to StarWars.com. I brought up some of the characters really quick that we see in the trailer. So Indara, that's Carrie Ann Moss's character. She's listed as a Jedi Master of great physical and mental skill. We've got Saul, Master Saul, who we see teaching the younglings. Wise, highly respected, powerful Jedi, strong in the ways of the Force, who's going through an emotional conflict. This is the... what the trailer kind of hints is the bad guy, quote unquote, May. I'm having a feeling she's not exactly a bad guy. You've got this mother Anissa, who is, this was an interesting part, leader of a coven of witches who value their independence and preservation of their beliefs and powers. Then you've got Yard, who has a speaking line about the Jedi being killed, kind of a overachiever, rule follower, Jedi Knight character. And then the one I think we've all been waiting for, Kel Naka, a Wookiee Jedi. How cool is that?
Yes, let's go.
Right. And then we talked about, Jeki is a Padawan apprentice to Master Saul. Then we've got the smuggler that's going to be part of the group, I imagine, who's going to be coming in and out of the story. And then, of course, the Vern, which is to High Republic character or High Republic fans know this character well. So kind of a quick rundown of some of the main characters according to StarWars.com. And, I think, you know, we could theorize all night, but I think it goes to back to what Leslie Headland said about this show, which was whatever you think the Acolyte is, it's not. And
great.
I love
great.
It.
Great.
Yeah. For sure.
Let us speculate. Let us have our fun, right? Like, let us just you know, be fans and enjoy what we saw in the trailer. By the way, the cast is awesome. Mm-hmm. Can we just say that? Mm-hmm. Like, we have Saul, I believe, I forget the gentleman's name. He's from Squid Game. He was awesome in that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be terrific in this. I can only imagine. Carrie Ann Moss, The Matrix, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible, right? And a whole host of, like, the one thing I was like, yeah, I'm very excited for the actors in this, the fight scenes, the choreography in this. And also, like, okay, just confirm to me the poster. What is that on the lightsaber?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's strawberry jelly.
Yeah.
I'm just confirming. Is it, if it's blood, I'm like, man, that is a dark, like, that is a jarring, like, awesome in its simplicity poster.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the darkest images from Star Wars I think we've ever had, really, if that is truly blood.
It's got a Tarantino feel to it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Like, how often do we even see blood in Star Wars?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Seriously, how often do we see blood in Star Wars?
Usually because the lightsaber cauterizes the wound, right?
Oh, unless you're in a Mos Eisley cantina. There's blood on the floor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
That's about the only time I can think of it.
Right, right. Yeah, you're talking about the cast. This young... Is it? Yeah, no. Where'd she go? This young lady right here. That is Daphne Keene, and she was the little girl that Wolverine was saving in Logan.
Nice.
So, yeah.
You know,
they made some great casting choices lately too, right? The Ariana Greenblatt was young Ahsoka.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, like they've made some really, really cool casting choices just lately across series for sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Any other thoughts about the trailer, guys? Anybody? One's going around real quick. Okay, I'll take that silence.
I want to air. Give me an air Jedi fight where they just like they're levitating and you know.
Oh yeah.
Give me like a whole recreate Bruce Lee and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Who was it? Yeah, that's who it was. Kareem, right?
Yeah.
Recreate that. Give me a giant.
That would be cool. That would be very cool.
That'd be awesome. So quick question for you. I did listen to some of your podcasts and you guys did a review of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yes, we did.
And it sounded like you really enjoyed it.
Well, yes. we found elements to enjoy. We found elements to enjoy.
And that was the reaction I was hoping to get from
you. Yeah, that was we found elements to enjoy.
Right.
I watch it every year.
The guy, like I'll find the good in anything, you know. Like I thought the Boba Fett animated short was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since it's the debut of Boba Fett.
Right.
Yep, right? I mean, technically, I guess not anymore because they added him to in the 97 release, but like still, yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. Still our introduction to Boba Fett. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I watch it every year, and these guys just roll their eyes at me because they're like, why? And I'll get into about 30 minutes into it, and I'll be like, why am I doing this to myself? I still have an hour and a half to go.
The only thing, honestly, here's what I think. I think that presentation suffered from a rough first 10 minutes because I think a lot of people were confused what was happening. It just needed subtitles or something. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Wookiee conversation with no.
That's the problem. It put the whole presentation behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this: my Clinton and Ryan made this point. Like it was a time capsule of the moment. Like
very much so.
Like a lot of things from that era don't age well. Period. Mm-hmm. But like if you were watching it in 1979, like look at the Donnie and Marie special that they did. Like. It was very similar. Like it was, like, you know, the jokes were similar. The vibe was similar. Like that's what it was back then, right? Like so, I give it a pass for that reason. I think a lot of people are just like harsh on it just because it's fun to. It's the fun Star Wars thing to do, right? Like to use it as the punching bag of fandom in a way, you know?
Right. And I think Ryan, I think Ryan phrased it perfectly, which was back then. There wasn't anything else, and that's what a lot of people don't understand.
Exactly.
Yeah,
was our only Star Wars at home, right there. That was right.
This was the era where like you couldn't even get toys. They were selling IOUs at the holidays, yeah. So that you'd have to mail in and get your toy in August of the next year. You know,
and I'm 53 now, and I'm still a little pinched. I didn't get my cardboard IOU. After that
day. Right.
Oops.
So
I thought you were zooming in for dramatic effect there, John.
No.
I was really mad. I didn't get my cardboard. Like I thought we were gonna get a moment there.
No, that was not supposed to happen.
So, how cool was it? I listened to most of the catalog that you guys have, and to have Carl Weathers on the first episode, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was really gracious with his time too. Like we were launching the show, and you know we had done a couple of trial runs, the three of us. But then Carl was presented as an option, and we jumped all over it, obviously. And he was awesome. Like he was so gracious with his time. He told us we had as much time as we needed, and he answered all of definitely my silly questions. You know, like I was a big Rocky guy too, so like he was, you know, more than gracious answering all that stuff. And obviously he had a sports connection with San Diego State, and you know, we had fun with that. And it was just you know, like the thing that stuck out to me the most though was he went out of his way to, like, he directed that season too, right? And he was the director for the episode of Ahmed Best Return. You know, the whole redemption for him personally, you know, returning his you know, Dave Keller and Beck and everything. And you know what he went through with Star Wars and how it affected him personally over the decades, and for him to have that moment, you know, is special. And Carl Weathers really like he singled that out as one of the highlights for him being involved in Star Wars. Period. Like being able to be a part of that and bring that to life like meant a lot to Carl. And that just shows you like how tight knit and how great the atmosphere must have been filming that season, because he holds that in such high regard, and he's so happy for Ahmed to have that, you know, like to have that redemption in a way.
Yeah,
we were all really excited about that.
Yeah, for sure. So, what are you guys? I gotta say, so like I said, I listen to most of the catalog, and the only complaint I really have is that you guys don't have more episodes out. You know, you guys are about once a month right now, and I'm looking for another podcast in my weekly rotation.
We appreciate that. It's not for lack of trying or want.
Right.
It's just realistically, because we all three of us have different things we cover, our busy times of year don't fall in the same time frames. And so If we had the opportunity to do it, you know, once a week or once a month, if it worked out and if it jived with our schedules, I'm sure that we would jump at the chance. But the cadence in which we do it is just, you know, it's still about, let's put it this way. Like we do it as much as we can, given the sandbox that we're playing in, and having to organize the logistics of it all. So,
yeah,
you know, again, the fact that it exists is spectacular, and we're very happy for it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
I'm still blown away by the mashup, because, you know, when I was growing up, you couldn't like Star Wars and sports. They just did not intermingle. And you guys have managed to do it. So,
well, I mean, that's because of this era, like this time frame, right?
Yeah, it's acceptable and lucky, now.
Yeah, and lucky for us, there's a lot of athletes that are Star Wars fans, right? Like we had Ryan Blaney on, who's a NASCAR champion. I did a interview on a hockey show I do with a goaltender for the Sabres, Devin Levi, and the whole reason he does he meditates during TV timeouts on the ice. Like he'll just, you know, crouch down on his knees. And his dad told him once, they grew up watching Star Wars, and his dad told him, hey, you know, when you do that, you look like Qui-Gon in that scene fighting, you know, waiting for the laser walls to drop so they can fight him and Darth Maul again. And then he's like, well, I'm doing this for the rest of my career. And he still does. Like during TV timeouts, he's meditating like Qui-Gon every single time. And he has lightsabers on his mask and everything. Like it's awesome. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. That's yeah, awesome. And DB, to prove your point, this is the last picture I uploaded, and I wanted to share it. Talking about sports and Star Wars combining.
Can I tell you what I'm most proud about awesome. That picture?
Yeah. So
they didn't let me host a SportsCenter segment. That's my bucket list item. If I can host a SportsCenter segment as Thrawn, that'd be the greatest thing ever. I don't know if I'll ever get the chance to do that, but it's in there. I'm putting it out in the universe. The coolest thing, though, was when we were in Tampa, I did a segment on their Jumbotron, and the 501st were there. And, you know, like, the 501st are, like, professionals, right?
Yeah.
Like, Darth Maul was there, and, like, I was just asking him, like, how long does this take you to do? And he's like, oh, about 3 hours. My wife helps me, you know, the horns and everything. Like, it's just like, yeah, this is, like, painstaking detail. And so I'm like, I'm going to take a shot in the dark. So I showed him the picture, that picture, and I was like, hey, how did I do? And he looks at it, he's like, hey, that's not bad, man. This is good. And then he, like, took my phone and he showed it to all the other 501sts. And, like, the stormtroopers are, like, nodding. And I'm like, man, I'm getting 501st approval for my, like, yes. You know, low-budget Thrawn. And I'm like, right. This is amazing. I feel so proud right now.
That's awesome.
That is awesome, yes.
That's very cool. Well, Arda, it's been great to have you on. Thank you for accepting the invitation. You know, you're welcome back anytime. As I was mentioned earlier in the episode, all of our guests for coming on the show become honorary members of Brown Squadron. And with that, you get a flight designation and a call sign.
Okay.
And so you are now Brown 44. And
yes, Mithra, let's go.
Exactly. I figured
we shortened it, not in the middle, but at the beginning. Amazing.
Right. I figured that, I love it. And it's the easiest to pronounce, really, honestly, too. So
yeah, right. Neurodo would have been tough.
yeah exactly.
I got you.
Exactly. So yeah. So if you come back on the show, you can sign in with that. And you know, definitely anytime. And like I said, you're welcome back anytime. Why don't you tell our viewers and our listeners more about Never Tell Me the Odds and where they can find you?
Well, thank you for the Brown 44 Mithra, by the way. That's pretty awesome. I will definitely remember that. That's really cool. There it is. Let's go. Signing in. But I have to do it very regally. Like, I have to have hands behind the back, right? I got to be like, Brown 44 Mithra is here at your service, or like something like that. I got to think of like what a Thrawn would say in the moment. Something like that.
Right.
Yeah, no, thanks for the invite, guys. This was a lot of fun. I definitely would love to come back. Never Tell Me the Odds, our ESPN official Star Wars podcast. To find it wherever you download your podcasts. We do have a couple of really cool episodes coming up that I cannot spoil at the moment, but definitely will be worth it, and you'll see why when we drop them. So that'll be in the next probably couple weeks or so.
Awesome. Very cool.
Excellent.
All right. Well, yeah, if there's nothing else, guys, we're going to get out of here tonight. Thank you for watching, everybody. Thanks for jumping in the chat. Anthony, Rule the Galaxy guys. Dan, thanks for jumping in tonight. Appreciate it. So I'm going to do the sign off at this point. And just so you know, Brown 44, I'll do the sign off and then I'll pause. And then we all just say that's no moon to sign off the show. So,
okay.
All right. So this is Brown Leader. Thanks for tuning in. This is Brown Leader signing off for the crew. And you have been listening and watching Hyperspace Heroes. That's no moon.
Hyperspace Heroes podcast can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Stitcher, and most other podcast services. If we are not on your service of choice, let us know. To leave your 5-star review, just click on the review button on your podcast service of choice and praise us to the maximum character limit available. To contact the show to comment, ask a question, suggest a conversation topic, or just to tell us how handsome we are, you can send us a DM on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter accounts. You can also email us at brownsquadron@gmail.com. Star Wars, its characters, shows, movies, books, etc. You get it. Are properties of Lucasfilm and Disney. Hyperspace Heroes podcast has no affiliation with Lucasfilm and Disney, although we would very much like to. Hyperspace Heroes podcast comments and opinions are ours alone, and the show is for entertainment purposes only. This is so we cannot be held liable when we say something dumb.
The Brachau Chuba Kucho, Stuta Yuna Barkina, Akimari Mankaba.
If you're still listening at this point, we would like to say thank you for joining us on this exposition into a galaxy far, far away, and we appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you'll share the show with other fans and that you'll tune in again for the next episode.
Doba hyperspace nucha need me chawa warmo all the esma paka kajitika heroes. This guy's keep chesko muri shanli mana.
Hyperspace Heroes Podcast, The Legend of Brown Squadron.
Chona atimiri makachi sastuta yuna shuba ikabunga utobra choka.
That's no moon.
Hey.
Sorry, he burped.
Was it good for you?